Good morning. This is December 6, 2017. You are listening to Hope Chapel on Community Supported Shine FM. I'm Pastor Jess, and I am excited, as always, to be with you this morning. We pray that through the hubbub and the craziness that is the holiday season, that you are living in your commitment to spend time in the Word every day with God. I hope that you'll learn that value, that if you can push through even when everything else seems crazy and get a few verses, a few nuggets, a chapter in a day, you'll see that there's fruit that can come from it in your life. You'll see how God meets you in those moments and He recharges you and refreshes you. And I believe that God wants to say something new to us. Pastor David, what announcements do you have for us out of the Hope Center today?
The Hope Center is currently hiring, and for information on these positions, you can visit our website at hopecenterohio.org. The Homework Help Program is currently open, and they are open Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. in order to help elementary school age students with their homework. If you are interested in volunteering at the Hope Center and getting involved, please visit our website at hopecenterohio.org in order to see information on all the volunteer positions that are open currently. If you are currently looking for ways to give, please visit the website at hopecenterohio.org where you can receive information on what we are in need of currently, as well as give financially online. And make your gift today. The Refuge Youth Center is currently open to 5th through 12th graders as a safe, fun place for you to come and hang out. For the most up-to-date information on the hours of operation, you can visit the website at hopecenterohio.org. The Hope Center's Christmas store is going to be December 18th and 19th. And if you are looking for extra assistance around the holiday season, please call into the Hope Center at 937-303-4209 in order to set up an appointment for your assistance.
Pastor David has his soap for us today.
Matthew 6:4 says this, "Give your gifts in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you." Now, my observation for this scripture is to give gifts in private. You know, it's not to receive praise or to boast about what you do and what you can do, but rather it is to help others and to do it because, one, God has called us to do it, and two, because we care about others and we want to see them prosper. My application for this is that, you know, it's a subtle reminder for me personally, who I'm a person who really enjoys praise. So, you know, sometimes I get caught up in wanting to do things for the praise of others or to receive acceptance from other people when really that's not the point. The point is to be in relationship with God, to obey God, to do what He's asked of us, and He will reward us and we will have fellowship with Him, as well as being able to bless other people who maybe need what we can give. Dear Lord, I just pray that You would just help me to have a humble heart, that I would not do things for the acceptance and the praise of others, but Lord, that I would do it for You and Your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor David. This morning, I want to talk to you about blessing, about the blessing of the Lord, what it looks like and means to be blessed by God. Jesus gives us great descriptors and great explanation of the blessing of God in Matthew chapter 5 in particular, but also in Matthew chapter 6. He continues to unpack the ways and means of the kingdom, how to live kingdom life here on earth. He unloads His heart to us. And we have a lot of habits in our church culture and in our Christianese, if you will. We say things like, "I'm blessed and highly favored." And that's absolutely true. We say, "How are you?" "I'm blessed." "Oh, I was so blessed today." We say things like that all the time. And we often associate blessing with things that have gone our way. But we'll see here in the scripture today that often blessing looks very, very different than the way we use it in our modern American church culture and our Christian language. Let's see what Jesus had to say about blessing. Today I'm reading from the Message. This is a translation. It's not considered a true word-for-word translation, but a paraphrase of the passages in modern language written by Eugene Peterson, who is just an excellent Bible scholar, but he captures for us in a language and in the vernacular of the day that we understand a fresh take on the passage. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5 in the Message and see what Jesus had to say about blessing. Verse 1 says this, "When Jesus saw His ministry drawing huge crowds, He climbed a hillside. Those who were apprenticed to Him, the committed, climbed with Him." These are the disciples and the close-knit people of who were really looking for the higher level of teaching. Or maybe they didn't know they were, but He knew they needed it. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions. This is what he said. It's important to me. I hope you hear that and caught that. These are the people who pressed in and had to actually climb to get closer to Jesus. This wasn't the throngs of people who were gathered around looking at the latest celebrity, but these are the people who pressed in and who took more time. And these are the promises and the teachings, the inner workings of the kingdom that Jesus made available to them. Verse 3 says this, "You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there's more of God and his rule." Does that sound like what we usually say when we say, "I'm so blessed"? We mean, "I got a new car," or "I'm so blessed because I feel better today. I was sick yesterday and today I'm not." Jesus says, when you are at the end of your rope, when you have lost it, that moment where you just get to the middle of a day and it's been one thing after another and it's been one just bad news, drain on your life, drain on your resources, drain on your emotions kind of day, when you are at the end of everything you've got to give, when you cannot tolerate a single thing more, when you can't hold on any longer to your sanity, right there in that place of chaos where you feel like you're losing your grip, you are blessed. Because when there's less of you in the way, when there's less of your resource, less of your ability, less of what you think you can do on your own without God, he can reign and rule in that place. I'm reminded of Paul, who teaches us that Jesus Christ, the power of Jesus Christ, is made perfect in our weakness. We can know and understand his power and his goodness when we are at the end of our rope. Verse 4 says, "You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you." We have a lot of things we hold precious and dear to us. Our children and our families, our loved ones, our most prized possessions. I was recently in some meetings with some fellow pastors and a colleague of mine told the story of how she left California because God began to speak to her and call her to the East Coast. She moved to a major city there where she was able to plant a church. But part of the process that God called her to in letting that go, this dream that was being harbored in her heart that God gave her, which was out of left field for her. It wasn't on her radar, but she began to have the stirring of the Holy Spirit to reach a new place and to do new things. And part of what he called her to do was sell everything. Sell everything, get rid of it, give it away, whatever it takes, because she wouldn't need anything for the journey, that God was going to provide for her the whole way. As she moved through the process of preparing for this move, she found out that the Lord meant it, that he really said, "You don't need to bring anything with you." So when her deceased mother's most precious things that didn't mean anything to anybody had to go to the Goodwill so she could get on a plane and follow God, when she had to let things go that didn't mean anything to anybody, photos and things like that, just to be able to pursue the call of God on her life, it got real and it got hard. We have things that are precious and dear to us. And even in the times where we feel like we've lost it all, maybe it's been ravaged from us. Maybe it's been taken from us. Maybe it was just lost in devastating manner. Maybe it's just life. But the Lord says, even in those places when you've lost it all, you are blessed because you can be embraced by the one, the capital O one, who's most dear to you. It's in that place that we can recognize that Jesus Christ, that the God the Father, the Holy Spirit, the one, the I am that I am, is our most dear and our most precious commodity. It is he is the thing, the one, that we cannot do without. Everything else is dust. When you realize that, and when you live in that place and space, and you have that intimacy, that understanding with God, you are blessed beyond measure. Verse 5, Jesus teaches us, "You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less." That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. Wait a minute. Is that right here in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount? Jesus says contentment is a place of blessing. There's an article floating around right now that a lot of the moms and others are sharing, friends of mine posting, about being satisfied. What if all I want is a Mediocre Life is the title of the blog. And I read it. That word rubs me the wrong way, I'll be honest. I don't want anything mediocre. I don't connect well with that. But as I read the article, I understood what it meant. This mom talked about, what if all I want is to have children who are loved and cherished and blessed and cared for? What if all I want is a simple home and I'm not trying to get more of everything? We live in a culture that's always telling all of us that more is better, that we have to have more, that we have to achieve more, that we have to accomplish more, that people who don't have vision to change the world are somehow less than or mediocre. And I don't find that mediocre at all. I want big things. I have dreams. I have hopes and desires. I have things I want to become and things I want to be. But Jesus reminds us here that being content with exactly who we are, who God's ordained from the foundation of the world for us to be, he's not saying lay back and be lazy and don't grow in the Lord or anything like that. He's saying when you recognize who you are in Christ Jesus, a son or daughter of the Most High God, when you have your identity in him, when your firstbornness is well understood, when regardless of your station on the earth, you recognize that you have the power of Jesus Christ alive and well in you, that you are a force for the kingdom of God in every place that you live, in every circumstance, whether that's in meekness and humility and quiet, whether it's for some reason loud and obnoxious like me, whatever yours may be, that when you are content where you are and understanding who you are in Christ, you are blessed beyond measure, and there's no one can buy that for you. There's no money, there's no resource, there's no private plane for that. There's nothing that can be achieved on the earth that compares to the blessing of knowing who you are in God. Talk about a word that will change your life. Imagine if we were content and understood the blessing we have in that. Verse 6 says this, Jesus says, you're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. Friends, I encourage you today to cultivate a hunger for God. It's hard to do that sometimes. We can't imagine, but I promise you, you can conjure this up. You can stir yourself up. You can stir yourself to godliness. You can cry out to God. Maybe you feel apathetic about God. It's like, well, he's out there. I know I'm going to heaven, but you know, what's he done for me lately? That's one of the ones we come across in our hearts. I'm sure none of you, that's true. It's just me, right? But begin to pursue God. Very simply today, Lord, make me hungry for you. Lord, I want more of you today. Give me more of you in your life and your circumstances. Show me, God, how you want to move in my life. Lord, I am bored to death in this relationship. Could you please cause me to hunger for you again? When we pursue God, when we're people who are lifelong learners, who are constantly looking for Christ-likeness, who are moving towards more, we're blessed. A good appetite means you're hungry, right? It means there's discomfort. If you're satisfied and full, your appetite is well met, right? That lull, the numbness that comes from being full after a fantastic meal. Hopefully some of you experienced that this last Easter with your families. But what the Lord says is God gives us daily bread, which means we ought to be hungry for him daily. He will satisfy your thirst and he will fill your hunger. And when you depend on him daily for more, you are blessed. Jesus says in verse 7, you're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourselves cared for. This is careful, care/full. Being a person who cares, being a person who's invested, who is loving and generous. And I love this one for my friends who find themselves crying over everything. They're just the sensitive ones. They're tender-hearted. And in our culture, we often find that weakness. We find that, why are they crying all the time? Why are they always feeling so much? Why, you know? And here Jesus says, the people who care and who care for others are blessed. That sensitivity and that care that is innate in many of you, the Lord honors it and blesses it. I think it goes back a little bit to knowing who you are and being content with that. We can't all be the same. We can't all look the same. If we do, it's going to get boring real fast. And if you're a person who has the gift of care, if mercy and loving one another and caring for other people is part of your natural disposition, grow it. Put it on display. Teach others how to do it. Push back against those of us who are careless and who are not as careful to be loving and generous. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind, and your heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. This one, packs a punch. If you are a person who's looking out on the world and there's just cynicism, if you're frustrated, if you're angry, if it seems like the whole thing's going to hell in a handbasket, if you are constantly railing against all the things that are wrong out there in the world, Jesus kind of points the finger back at you and says, if you will make what's going on the inside, your heart and your mind right before the Lord, you will see the world differently. You will see God moving. It's easy for us to see the chaos and the heartache of the world. And it's not that we ignore or gloss over those things. We should pray for them and we should believe for them. But if you're struggling to see God moving in the circumstances outside of your heart and mind, if you're struggling in your family and in the world around you, and it just seems like God's not answering and God's not moving and you're not seeing him, it's possible that the problem is not God not moving, but it's your heart and mind not being able to perceive God in the outside world because your heart and mind aren't right. Get right today. Devour God. Go after him. Seek him. Ask him to align your heart and mind so that you can see him moving in every circumstance. You are blessed when you are a person who is perceptive and healthy and in line with God enough to see him moving in every circumstance, because I promise you he is. The assumption here that Jesus makes is that God is moving all over the world. God's moving in the outside world. He's positioning every moment, all the time, for the power of heaven to come to earth. And if you can't see it, it's time to get right with Jesus. Lord, we thank you so much that we are blessed in every season and in every circumstance because we are loved by God. That no matter how high our highs may be or how low our lows may be, that you being with us makes us blessed. Lord, I pray over our listeners today that as they pursue you and as their life unfolds before them today, that even in the hardship, they would see the blessing and the favor of God. I pray, Lord, for those of us who are about to have a great day, who are about to see all kinds of wonderful things transpire because we are loved by God, that we would recognize the blessing in those places is not because of our fruitfulness or because of our achievements or any of that, but it is simply that we are loved by God and cherished by him. Lord, I pray that you would continue to teach us and train us by your Spirit to understand how truly blessed we are. Thank you, Lord, for the Sermon on the Mount. Thank you for climbing a hill that day so long ago and teaching us and making available to us today the power of these words that can change our lives. In your name we pray, amen. Thank you for joining in again this week at Hope Chapel. We will be back next week with more right from the Bible. One word from God can change your life. Have a great week.
Lighting the way to the one. We're community supported Shine FM.